what is those piddling little families with only five or six children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
Give them your massive headache.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent, brought to you by Matt's Cookies. They're just like homemade cookies with real ingredients. Now also available through Peapod Delivery Service. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
My all-time favorite movies is My Fair Lady with the fantastic Audrey Hepburn, my all-time favorite movie star ever. And there's so many wonderful things in that movie, so many great, you know, depictions of finally Henry Higgins loses it, and so to speak, in terms of his heart to Audrey Hepburn, and all ends well in the end. But in the interim, he has some very interesting things to say about why can't a woman be more like a man? And I thought of that when I came across a news article this week. And I thought, you know what? It's my sisters, my feminist sisters, who want to make men more like women. Henry Higgins seems to be the only one who wants to make a woman more like a man.
Pickering, why can't a woman be more like a man?
I beg your pardon?
Yes, why can't a woman be more like a man? Men are so honest, so thoroughly square, eternally noble, historically fair. But when you win, we'll always give your back a pat. But why can't a woman be like that? Why does everyone do what the others do? Can't a woman learn to use her head? Why do they do everything their mothers do? Why don't they grow up, well, like their father instead? Why can't a woman take after a man? Men are so pleasant, so easy to please. Whenever you're with them, you're always at ease. Would you be slighted if I didn't speak for hours?
Of course not.
Would you be livid if I had a drink or two?
Nonsense.
Would you be wounded if I never sent you flowers?
Never.
Well, why can't a woman be like you?
One of the all-time great, great songs. Of course, the joke ends up being on Henry Higgins when he falls in love with Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady. But it's just, you know, I saw that and it just occurred to me that that's sort of a joke, the idea of a man wanting women to be more like them. So why is it that the sisterhood is always trying to make men more like women? And I thought of that as I came across a piece this week. It was emailed to me in the New York Times. It seems the fertility clock ticks for men, too, glared the headline in the New York Times piece. And this is a friend sent it to me in my mailbox. And, of course, her orientation was a little bit of, huh, you know what, now the guys have to start paying attention to age and fertility, too. Because, of course, we've long known that women's fertility drops precipitously before it ends altogether with menopause. And along the way, health risks for baby and mom dramatically increase with the mother's age. 35 is, medically speaking, for a pregnant woman, advanced maternal age. I found that out the hard way on my medical records when I was carrying a baby when I was 35. I was sort of appalled. But now there's research that, contrary to long-held popular wisdom, not only does a man's fertility drop with age as well, but that his risk for fathering children with birth defects and mental illness increases as he grows older. You're listening to Betsy Hart on It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. And we're talking about differences in parenting, differences in men and women, and all about, well, a little bit about fertility. And is that going to change how men behave when it comes to the dating game? Listen to this. Now, this news first made a splash actually a couple of years ago. And, you know, at the time, it was sort of another step in the long march of feminizing men, right? I think that's what we women seem to be inclined to do. So as I scanned the headlines of this New York Times piece, I knew, there's no question, one of my sisters, as I like to call them, would be triumphantly proclaiming that men can't have it all. You see, huh? You know, this might even level the premarital dating game, as the New York Times put it, presumably referring to single women, never married women in their 30s and older, who are carefully checking that biological clock every 10 minutes. Sure enough, the message to men is wake up and smell the java. Pamela Madsen, executive director of the American Fertility Association, a national education and advocacy group, told the Times, quote, it's not just about women anymore, it's about you too, unquote. And then as Time magazine put it, it was a similar piece on declining male fertility and so forth and men's age last year. Perhaps now men in their mid-30s will start sharing the same now-or-never pressure to conceive that women have long endured. Yeah, good luck with that, is my response. So, I mean, since news, including this particular Times piece, came out in full force a couple of years ago that fertility does decline with men, increased risk of mental illness, actually, and birth defects, and so forth, have men been rushing to get to the altar and start families sooner? No. And this, of course, is in complete contrast to how women have always operated. Now, most of us do girl math. You know, there is girl math, and here's how it goes. If I want to have kids by 30, let's see, that means getting married by around 28. And if I want to do that, I'd better start seriously looking to get married by the time I'm 25, or, you know, just the numbers however you want them. Girls start doing such equations around the time they learn their multiplication tables. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I would argue it's how smart women have always operated, because we all know women who didn't do girl math very much wanted children and ended up middle-aged and without being married and without having kids. And for the women who wanted that, and that's most, not all, but that's most of us, they didn't. Sometimes it's because they didn't do girl math, not all the time, but sometimes the thinking was, I can put this all off and get what I want later. So now there's this sort of, ha, men can't put it off and get what they want later too. But then there's this false argument that men are going to do guy math because men are just like us, and they obsess about babies and children the way we do. And guess what? They just don't. It doesn't mean that men don't want to have children or that men who are going through infertility don't find that very crushing. Most men grow up, and at some point they do want to have children and get married and move on with their lives, and all of that is great. But have you ever heard of a little boy saying, let's see, I want to start my family by the time I'm 30, so I've got to meet a girl and get married? They just don't operate that way. And they're not inclined to. That's not, you know, I think it's normal for a man to want to care for and protect women and children. I'm not saying that desire isn't there. I'm saying the obsession isn't. They weren't built with that like we women were. And no amount of social engineering in the world is going to change that. There's no guy math going on. And the feminist and the sisterhood just can't change that. Now, my own theory is, you know, it's pretty simple. So when a man is ready to get married, he pretty much, something clicks in him, and he looks around, and he, you know, more or less hails a cab. And, you know, if you're the cab standing close by and you look pretty comfortable and all that, you know, that may be the one you end up with. He pretty much hails a cab. Now, sometimes the right good-looking cab can make it clear to him that he's ready. But there's none of the sort of, it's just so rare to find the guy saying, my biological clock is ticking, I really want to go out and just, you know, and just get this done. They just operate differently. And when something clicks, that's when they're going to either go online and find somebody, or they're going to hail a cab, or they're going to find some other way to meet a great woman, boom, settle down, they're done. They just don't plan for it and obsess about it and think about the babies like we do. And learning all this about male fertility is not going to change it. You know, I read this years ago, but it's always stuck with me, that it takes men about 3 dates to fall in love. Roughly 3, seriously. And it takes women about 20. And that kind of makes sense to me. Now, in one sense, of course, that means men really are more emotional creatures than we are, or rather, the more physical creatures, because is she cute, being on the top of their list of requirements. But, you know, men will kind of help. Okay, she's cute. She's here. She's available. You know, seems nice enough. Good. We're done. Women, on the other hand, does, you know, what kind of a father is he going to be? How much money does he make? How does he interact with my parents, et cetera, et cetera. It's a much more involved process. It really is the guys who tend to go over the cliff faster. And boy, has that been the experience that I've had, not necessarily personally, but when I've watched other people and how men have operated. And boy, 9 times out of 10, you meet a married guy and they will tell you, boom, instantly knew about my wife. I instantly knew I was going to marry her. By the second date, I knew I was going to marry her. She will often be the one, oh, it took a little longer. I wasn't sure. He had to pursue. He had to convince. And it would be weird if it were the other way around, where she said, I was begging him to marry me. You kind of look at that and say, ooh, that's kind of icky. Because that's, we operate differently. We are different. Men and women are wonderfully, magically different. And all the socialist or social feminist sisterhood, social engineering is not going to make the guys more like us. So it's great to have this information that a man's age can affect his fertility. I think this could be very useful. I think people should be aware of it. It may be something certainly for guys who are married, for their wives to sort of say, hey, guess what? Maybe we can't put this off forever and all that kind of good stuff. But the idea that a guy is going to start doing guy math, it ain't going to happen. And you know what? That's okay. And the larger issue for me is, once again, except for Professor Henry Higgins, I have never noticed men trying to make women more like them. So why does the feminist sisterhood insist on feminizing men and making men more like us? I don't think that deep down that's what we really want. That's what we have girlfriends for. That isn't what we should be trying to make our husbands or our boyfriends into. You're listening to It Takes a Parent. Hey, I'm so glad you're here with me on Easter Sunday. We've got lots more to talk about. I've got more in the heartbeat section of the show. And then later, we'll get into wellness. Many of us focused rightly on our spiritual wellness in church this morning and what an all-important thing that is, of course. So hopefully we've had a great morning in church and hearing messages about Easter. But now we're going to switch over a little bit to physical well-being, and we're going to talk with one guest in particular, Dr. Wafi Khanna, who is a renowned facial cosmetic surgeon, and talking about all kinds of neat little things we can do to look better and to look as good on the outside as hopefully we feel on the inside. That's later in the show. More in the heartbeat section when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to It Takes a Parent.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocer's shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.
Are you losing your home to foreclosure? The law firm of Pomeroy & Associates would like to offer you a free, no-obligation consultation that will show you how to stop foreclosure, reduce your interest rates, and save thousands on your mortgage. Do not let this economic slowdown take your home from you and your family. You have worked too hard. There is no cost to find out how this program can help you save your home. Call 800-901-7174. That's 800-901-7174. 800-901-7174.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it. Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180 or visit hannahmd.com.
Hank Hanegraaff. He's the answer man, the Bible answer man. Discuss God's Word weekday evenings from 6 to 7 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
I love it. I love getting in my car just to listen to it.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent. Does it take a parent to be miserable? Does having children make you unhappy? Well, the answer, according to more and more studies, is
yes.
According to Lisa Belkin, and this is as part of a piece that she wrote in the New York Times, children do not bring happiness, she writes in Motherlode, which is a blog. It's related to the New York Times. Children do not bring happiness. In fact, more often, they seem to bring unhappiness. That is the conclusion of one academic study after the next. And there are so many that it makes one wonder if researchers keep trying, hoping for a different result. In the April edition of the online journal of the British Psychological Association, researcher, I can't pronounce the name, of the University of York in Great Britain, whose own academic work concludes there is no difference between the life satisfaction level of parents and non-parents, summarizes the existing studies. This is really interesting, but I have a big theory on this. So stay with me here, folks. Using data sets from Europe and America, numerous scholars have found some evidence that, in the aggregate, parents often report statistically significantly lower levels of happiness, life satisfaction, marital satisfaction, and mental well-being compared with non-parents. And it is not just the years of active parenting that tamp down happiness. There is also evidence that the strains associated with parenthood are not only limited to the period during which children are physically and economically dependent. For example, another researcher found those older parents whose children have left home report the same or slightly less happiness than non-parents of similar age and status. Thus, what these results are suggesting is something very controversial, that having children does not bring joy into our lives. Now, I would totally disagree with that statement. It does not show us that at all. There is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness we typically use referring to circumstances of the moment. Is this a great cup of coffee? Am I enjoying my husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or wife? Am I enjoying going down this ski slope at this moment? Is it bringing me happiness? And often the answer to those things is yes. And often I got to tell you, when I look at my kids, are they bringing me happiness in the moment? Well, lots of times they're not. And I'm the first one to tell my kids that. You know what? I'm not really enjoying you right now. I love you. I'm not really enjoying you. Joy is a totally different emotion. That is a sense of, we may have messed up our definitions lately, but if you want to look at biblical definitions, joy is about a sense of significance, a sense of profound well-being, a sense of mattering, regardless of our circumstances. So I don't think the study shows that at all. However, the findings on parenting and happiness it really is interesting. It's actually sort of funny, and I have a theory as to why this is happening. Anyway, so the question then Belkin asks is, why does anyone have children in the first place? If statistically speaking, and on average, parents are no happier and many are less happy than those without children, then what are all these baby showers about? And you might also say, then what are all these couples who can't conceive and the ache that leads to and the sense of loss? So where is that coming from? Is it because they just don't know what they're doing? Well, she says, is it because we see others struggle, but we figure it won't be as much of a struggle for us because we focus on the upside, the coos and the smiles and the little chubby cheeks? Well, this researcher says, we kind of delude ourselves to an extent when choosing parenthood. There is a widespread belief in every human culture that children bring happiness. I don't know. Is there that widespread belief? Historically, I think it was a sense of of duty and responsibility. It wasn't, frankly, something you could avoid. So if you were going to be married and be sexually active, you couldn't avoid having kids, and you needed them to run the farm. I'm not sure anybody in previous ages ever thought, you know, whippy-dippy-ding-dong, I can't wait to have kids because it's just going to be a party all the time. I don't think that's ever been the fact at all. And that gets me to my theory in all this, so hang with me. Anyway, this is the case. Even when the prospective parents know that raising a child will be painstakingly difficult, they tend to think quite happily about parenthood, which is why most of them eventually leap into it. And are these rose-colored blinders somehow fitted for us by nature? There are theories about that, too. So then it's, you know, we have this rosy view of parenthood because we get that from our parents because they had kids. The people who are not out having kids don't pass on a rosy view of parenting, and there aren't kids of theirs to have an unrosy view of parenting. Do you follow? So anyway, he goes into all that. Maybe, though, it's because we are not deluded at all. Perhaps we see clearly that parenting is hard, but there are moments, enough of them, to make it worth it. Then again, this researcher explores that idea and says, no, it is if you like winning the lottery. We may be incredibly happy at first if we win £1 million from the national lottery, but soon enough, because this is Britain, that money will go into our bank account or into other extravagant spending sprees in the forms of nice cars or a big house, most of which, after having got them, we do not spend a lot of time thinking about every day. However, because the experience of winning the lottery is so real to us, perhaps partly because it is such a rare event, if we are asked to think about it again, we are likely to exaggerate the value that it brings. And so he says this is a little bit like parenting. It's much more likely that we as parents will end up spending a large chunk of our time attending to the very core process of childcare, such as, am I going to be able to pick up David from his school in time, versus finding the real joy in parenting. And so it goes on. And in fact, there are a lot of studies out, and this fellow, by the way, doesn't have children, but there are more and more studies out that say, you know what, parenting, you know, people would rather engage in an act of housework than in an act of parenting. And there's no question that an act of parenting doesn't make us as happy as going out to have a nice dinner with friends. And my response to that is, duh-ah. That's not why we do it. We do it because, for one thing, I think we are commanded, barring some you know, unchangeable medical condition, to have or adopt children, to advance the species and all that kind of stuff. There is an inherent desire to do that. Is it because it brings us happiness in the moment? I don't think, as I was saying before, I don't know that that was ever an orientation on parenting, that people said, well, we're going to have a party now, we're going to have a bunch of kids. I think we've always known it's hard. It's just that the hard work was worth it because of the sense of joy and significance and, you know, watching that child grow up, knowing you've poured yourself into someone who will be here after you are. And that gives us a sense, and for those who are, for those who aren't Christian, either way, I think it gives you a sense of living on after you're gone. It's a God-given gift, and it's something that our very soul yearns for. But nobody ever said, you know, there's a great line in the movie The Big Chill, one of my favorite lines. And one of the disenchanted husbands at one point says, you know, nobody ever said that nobody ever promised that you were going to be happy when you grew up. At least they didn't promise it to me. And that's a great line. And I actually heard an interesting sermon lately where the fellow talked about maybe not focusing on pursuing happiness so much in this world, because this world wasn't designed to make us happy. It's broken. It's diseased. It's ugly. It's full of hurt and pain. We're not supposed, this isn't our end game here, guys. This isn't supposed to make us happy in the end. It's supposed to be a place of growth and finding joy in the midst of those horrible circumstances right now. And I think one of the ways we find that significance is through our children. And boy, do they bring a lot of pain and hurt and difficulty along with some really happy and fun and exciting times. But if we're looking for our kids to make us happy, it's just no surprise that they're not going to do that, because that's not their job. That's not what they're here for. And I think that sometimes we get confused about that, that is their role. And so when we're not happy in the moment as parents, we think, oh, what's wrong with me? Or, oh, what's wrong with my kids? And the fact is, nothing. It's hard. And in fact, it doesn't surprise me at all to also find that parents in general, those who are or have been, those who are parents or, you know, their children are grown, are more likely to suffer depression at some point in their life than those who aren't. Yeah, because guess what? The stakes get really high. And suddenly the things you're doing are very significant, because they impact not just you, not just your spouse, but they impact your kids. They impact the next generation. That is a big deal. The stakes get so high that, of course, it really matters. And when something is that significant, it's a lot easier to get down about it. If you're just bouncing through life without a responsibility to other living things, it's pretty easy to be up all the time. There's, frankly, not a big deal. You're going to get through life. You're going to be done. It's going to be over. You move on. If you haven't invested yourself, and there's a lot of folks who cannot have children or adopt, but they find ways to invest themselves in nieces or nephews or family and to really invest there and to take that on so they would have the same significance. I'm talking about people who choose not to have children, which is a growing trend and which these articles play into. It's pretty easy to just go tra-lolling through life and just kind of have a party and a good time because you're not responsible for anybody else. And that's a pretty easy, although I think very selfish way to live. But hey, who asked me? One other note on this article, whether people ask me or not, I'll share it, is that one of these researchers, and this is hilarious, actually said that they think one of the issues here with people being less happy with kids is because people have less help than they did generations ago. Are you kidding me? Generations ago, there were no washing machines. There were no microwaves. You were out picking the food at breakfast or killing it that you were going to be serving at dinner that night. It was constant work. I think one of the problems is we have too much time on our hands. So we have all these conveniences. So now we can sit with little Johnny and play 3 hours of Candyland, and that would make anybody miserable. Of course we're unhappy if we're doing that kind of stuff. It used to be our kids were incorporated into our life. Little Johnny padded after Mommy while she worked. Mommy didn't feel like she had to be doing all these teachable moments for several hours a day with Johnny. And so she probably was happier, and probably Johnny was too. So I think that's one of the big problems, is we have too much time on our hands. Not too little when it comes to our kids. So more of that and more of the heartbeat section and future shows to come. Next, we're going to come right back, and I get to interview a friend and a sponsor. And it's someone I went to, as I do all my sponsors, and asked him to be a sponsor because I really, really appreciate what he does. And that's Dr. Wafi Khanna of Khanna Facial Cosmetic Surgery in Hinsdale, Illinois. I'm not going to give away all of my secrets. I'm just going to say that I'm really excited Dr. Khanna is coming on the show to talk about well-being. It's not about vanity. It's not about idolizing youth or looks. It's about a sense of well-being, and I know a lot of us work out and eat right, and we care about how we look on, how we are healthy on the inside, and there's ways to reflect that on the outside that might be a little more subtle and doable and just a little more uplifting, so to speak, than you might have thought. So Dr. Han's going to come in next and talk about that, as well as some of the big procedures, too, in the ever-changing world of cosmetic surgery. I love getting this information, so look forward to having him on next. Stay with us. You're listening to Betsy Hart, It Takes a Parent.
Chicago's Christian Talk includes New Life Live with Stephen Arterburn. Learn more at newlife.com and listen weekdays at 1.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines, along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at EliteFitnessWS.com. That's EliteFitnessWS.com. Calling all campers and mom and dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Cape Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out KQI Family Camp, part of the Kanakuk family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. KQI, a family vacation with eternal significance.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
Start your day with Family Life Today and Dennis Rainey, weekday mornings at 8:30 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
I want to thank you for your wonderful radio station. I listen to it every day.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. You have heard the commercials that I do from my friend, Dr. Wafi Khanna of Hinsdale at Hanna Facial Cosmetic Surgery. I am not going to give away any of my secrets. I am just going to tell you that he is a great guy and a great doctor, and I am so excited to have him on the air right now because we get to talk to Dr. Khanna about all kinds of fun new improvements in how we can more easily than we might think and even a little more secretly look better and feels good on the outside as we do on the inside. And I, for one, think that is incredibly important. Dr. Wafi Khanna, welcome to It Takes a Parent.
Thank you so much, Betsy, for inviting me.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the air. Now, you know, I could go into your biography, which is extensive. You are on several American boards of cosmetic surgery. You are a leader in your field. You've been profiled in all kinds of magazines and newspapers. You've been listed as a top cosmetic surgeon in the Chicago area. The list goes on. You are the go-to guy when it comes to facial cosmetic improvement, if we want to put it that way. I'm excited that you're here. I could go on and on more about that. But what I want to talk to you about is feeling good and looking good on the outside like we do on the inside. And what I mean by that is I go to a gym 3 or 4 days a week, and I see a lot of women who are working hard to look great and their bodies are in shape. But I always get the impression that maybe some of them think, oh, I can't do anything about how my face looks as I age a little bit because that just automatically requires some big, major, expensive surgery. And you're a leader in kind of saying, actually, it doesn't. Tell me about some of the newest improvements that are out there for people who just want look a little bit better without going under the knife.
Well, usually when I see somebody, it depends on their age. And nowadays, there are things which are absolutely fantastic compared to when I first started practice a few years ago. And that is, when I first started practice, have a facelift, eye job surgery, take it, leave it, that's the way it is. But now you can have a lot of improvement on the face and eyes, which would get you very close to having surgery done, but not having surgery. And that is...
Give me some examples.
For example, I have tightening skin machines, tighten the skin mm-hmm. without any surgery, called, as you very well know, the machine called the Thermage, mm-hmm. which is a one-time type of procedure which tightens the collagen in the skin about 30 to 40%, what a facelift does. And then you can supplement that around the jowl area and the cheek area, the malolabial area and the marionette line.
Now, when you say those lines between the nose and the mouth.
Between yeah. the cheek, the nose, and the lips, the upper lip, and between the cheek and the chin, and between the jowl and the chin, all these areas, if you inject it with a filler. And the best I like is Restylane.
Mm-hmm. I've read about a lot about that. I won't say any more than that. So, but I think it's a great thing.
And it is a sugar which made out of a sugar called hyaluronic acid, and this is approved by the FDA, and it's injected in the skin at least 6 to 9 months, makes the skin manufacture collagen, so it lasts longer the next time, 9 to 12 months. And so on, that you come to a point you don't need it any longer. The other machine I have, which does the same function as the Thermage, is called the Accent.
Mm-hmm.
And the Accent can tighten the skin about 30-40%, but at the same time can dissolve cellulite in the thighs and in the butt. And
something a lot of women struggle with, yeah, okay.
And that can do the trick. It is it's very good for patients under 40 pounds overweight.
Okay.
Over 40 pounds, you don't want to do these things.
Okay. Now, you know, I'll have people say, okay, look, Betsy, this is a Christian radio show. Here you are talking about these outward improvements. When shouldn't we be thinking about inner renewal? And, of course, my response is absolutely we should be thinking about inner renewal. But for some people, I think that trying to look better, especially if sometimes you're talking about it, you're younger, at a younger age, some of these minor enhancements can have a huge psychological impact. I mean, do you see a psychological benefit to people simply feeling better about how they look?
This cosmetic surgery nowadays on the face has many advantages, especially in a Christian type of atmosphere we live in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when somebody says, why do you have so much vanity performed into the facial area? Well, A lot of the ladies or men who come to me go and get their hair done, and they wear necklaces and they wear earrings. So that's a kind of vanity. So, but the important thing is that this is an age we live in, which is an age of looking youthful and more attractive at the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think anybody should idolize that or make it into something that it's not. But if we're feeling good and we're healthy and we're eating right and we're working out, and I see a lot of people doing that who, you know, they'll get their hair done and do so many other things, but kind of might not want to take that next step to doing something just simple to make themselves feel better about how they present themselves to the world. And I not only don't have a problem with that, I think it can be a great thing done appropriately and in moderation and all that good stuff. And, you know, as people age and get older, I don't have any problem with being even a little bit more dramatic about it if it's something that you have the right perspective on and will help you to feel better about how you face the world. But Jan, what made you want to go into cosmetic surgery? What was something you said, this is the field I'm going to get excited about and be an expert in?
I did, of course, general surgery. Before you do cosmetic surgery, you have to do general surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very impressed with what it does to the psychological type of situation in patients, where when they get their nose which doesn't fit their face and it's too strong for their face, whether they broke it before and they cannot breathe, or the nose is an S nose which is too large for their face, like a Mediterranean nose coming from Egypt or Italy or Greece, any of the places, then the nose gets the face to really show how beautiful the face is. The nose is not to overpower the face.
Mm-hmm.
The receding chin is built to protrude, to be accentuated and augmented to make the lower third of the face with the nose, and the patient can look fantastic with that type of surgery and minimal pain with the nose jobs. You come to somebody who is born with bags under the eyes, because bags, as you know, Betsy, it's hereditary.
Yeah, and it makes you look tired. I mean, some of the improvements you're talking about, it's not even a matter of looking prettier. It's a matter of looking less tired, of having the showing the same energy on your face that you feel inside.
That's right. So somebody comes to me and says, you know, everybody tells me I look tired. Well, I'm not tired. They make me feel tired when they tell me I look tired.
Yeah.
And so getting the bags done and makes the patient psychological type of situation excellent, because they don't have that tired look. And usually I've done facelifts and eyes on ladies about 30 years ago, 25 years ago. and their daughters come in now at the 55 or so. They have bags under the eyes, and they say, oh, I want eyes done like to my mother.
Okay, so you're now seeing the generations continue. Now, what's the gender breakdown of your practice? I'm assuming it's mostly women?
35% to 38% is men.
Really? It's that high? Interesting.
Well, women who make the men want surgery.
They want their guys to look better. Now, what are they, and is that an increase from recent years? I'm just guessing that that's up over the last, say, 10 or 15 years.
Exactly, but it has been going up because men want younger and more attractive for themselves, mostly, as you said at the beginning of the discussion.
Okay. And so what are they typically having done? If a guy comes into your practice, what's the most common thing he's coming to you about?
For men and women, the most common procedure now is eye bags under the eyes, and the upper eyelids is sagging and hooding.
Huh.
The eyebrows are hooding. So eye job is the most common procedure, and then comes after that nose jobs and.
Okay, I'm intrigued that that many men are coming into your practice. I think that's fascinating. So, why do you still think? And we'll get into this a little bit more after the break. But I tend to think, or I'll hear people say, or it seems to me in the culture, there's still this view that if you want some cosmetic enhancement, it can only happen under the knife. Why are we still, you know, in spite of all those things you talked about at the top of the show, why is that still such a misunderstanding, I think, when it comes to when people think about cosmetic surgery?
Well, when somebody comes in and they're about 76 or 78 and they've been attractive all their life, very attractive, and their jowls are hanging and the neck is... and their mind is still 20 to 24 years old, but they look in the mirror, they say, oh my God, when did these things begin to bag?
Mm-hmm.
Then they really want surgery done. And facelifts in my hands are about as painless as they can get, and so is eye or nose. So being under the knife is a scary word today, but it's, there's so many things go into gallbladders and appendixes and all that stuff, and, and patients come out of it looking, feeling fantastic when they get rid of these problems. The same with facelifts and noses.
Yeah, where they just, you're probably one of the few surgeons that people actually like to see coming. They're actually happy to see you walking in the door. Dr. Wasfi Khanna of Khanna Cosmetic Facial Surgery in Hinsdale. We will be right back with more on It Takes a Parent. Stay with us.
Answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask. Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow. Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Man, a quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookie? Matt, and that's why Matt is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
The Before you decide to move out of Chicago, better check the stores where you're going to make sure they carry Matt's chocolate chip cookies. Matt's is sold in a lot of places, but they're not everywhere, like in California, for instance. So if you're offered a good job in California, better think it over. A career is one thing, but giving up Matt's chocolate chip cookies? Now that's serious.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Matt's.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod delivery service.
Do you send high-friction greeting cards? For example, you get in your car, drive to the mall, go to the card store, search the Easter cards, find the right one, pay for it, get back in the car, drive home, write in it, put it in an envelope, seal it, address it, stamp it, and mail it. That is a high-friction Easter card. And really, how much impact does it have?
Huh, nice card.
Wouldn't you rather have a low-friction, high-impact Easter card, like the e-card you can send from your desk right now with crosscards.com?
Wow, that's some card!
Low-friction, high-impact, crosscards.com.
Calling all campers, and Mom and Dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Wise Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out Take Wise Family Camp, part of the Kanaka family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. Take Wise, a family vacation with eternal significance.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL, where my guest is my friend and sponsor of the radio show, Dr. Wafi Khanna of Facial Cosmetic Surgery in Hinsdale, Illinois. And you can find him by going to my blog, betsysblog.com, clicking on his ad, and you can get straight to Khanna Facial Cosmetic Surgery. And these are great folks who have all kinds of ways to help you feel good and to look as good on the outside as you feel on the inside. And I went to Dr. Khanna and asked him to be a sponsor of my show because I really appreciate what those folks do. So glad to have him on the air today. And Dr. Khanna, we left off, we were talking about sort of these more minor procedures like Restylane and Botox and some of these enhancements. And again, we talked about vanity, but at the same time, I just think if you don't idolize these things or idolize youth, if you see it as sort of an enhancement that you can enjoy and helps make you feel better about yourself and do it in the right with the right perspective, I think it can be a great thing if you have the right orientation to it. And these days, there's a lot of great things out there. So we talked about that. I want to know a little bit more about surgical procedures and what's available. And I'll tell you a little bit of my own story. Well, this isn't my own personal story, which I will not relate in this regard. But my mom, when she, Dr. Khanna, I think maybe I've talked about this before. She was, she died when she was only 62. And when she turned 60, she went into a real depression, I know now. And I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school here. She really got down, and one of the things I think she was down about was her appearance. She aged early. She had 5 obnoxious children. Of course she aged early, you know? And I remember even when I was younger, it was in my 20s, and saying, well, Mom, you know what? You're so energetic. You go to exercise class. You're so into fitness. You know, why don't you think about doing something cosmetic related that would help you to feel better and to feel as young or to look as young as you feel? And she just really had a problem with that. And I think she grew up as a Christian Scientist, and you don't go see doctors anyway and all that kind of stuff, although she later became a Christian. But she just really had a problem with that. And I think that helped. I think that affected her psychologically. And I'm not saying you can run off and fix every problem by any means by having a procedure done, but I just wonder if that's something she should have considered that would have helped her to feel better as she aged. So that's, I confess, that's something I'm kind of aware of. So, you know, I want to talk a little about how to find a good doctor if folks can't get to you, if they're listening to my show somewhere else in the country. But tell me a little bit about advances in surgery itself, like in, let's say, the more involved procedures like the facelift.
Well, the facelift is a procedure which really is minimal pain, and when it's done properly, you don't look artificial whatsoever. And this you go.
That's what I'd be. You know, you get this sort of in a wind tunnel look. I mean, I think that's what some people are afraid of, and I've heard, and I have no firsthand knowledge of this, that today's look is a softer, more natural look.
Yeah, you have to do the surgery in such a way that doesn't look any artificial, your wind look appearance or that kind of stuff. Usually incisions are hidden. You don't see them in the hair behind, above the ear and behind the ear, way up behind the ears. Don't see them whatsoever. And inside the cartilage in front of the ear. So this is one thing. You go in, you suck all the fat around the jowls and the double chin, and you lift the muscles and you lift the skin, making it look very natural. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
For the eye job, the incision is right under the eyelash. You don't see it. And you go in and you take all the extra fat and skin out. So it looks, you don't have that tired look. Mm-hmm. And the incision on the upper eyelid is in between the crease, in the crease when
okay.
you close your eyes. And then over the lines, over the mouth, that's from kissing too much or smoking too much.
Neither one of which are my problems, but anyway.
I wish I had a problem.
So, and then what is, let's say somebody's going to go in for a full bore facelift. They're doing the whole thing. They're mid-50s. They're going to do the whole thing. What's the recovery time for something like that?
Within 10 days to 2 weeks, they can go out to dinner and nobody will know that they had surgery done.
Wow. Now, what isn't your face kind of numb, though? I had a friend in Washington who did a facelift.
It would be numb for a few weeks after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually the sensation comes back.
Now, how do your patients, are they fairly open when they do a procedure? If they're having their nose done or getting a facelift, do you find that they're sort of telling people about it, or are they kind of, oh, I've got to be real secret and just stay under wraps for 2 weeks because there's a stigma associated with it, or has that stigma kind of changed? What's going on there with how people...
over 95% of the patients now are very happy to go and tell everybody they had it done. It's no longer a stigma of aging or any of these kind of situations.
Okay, and is that a...
I had a wonderful eye job, and I have a great facelift, and I'm so happy, and here is my before pictures, and they have their before pictures in their purse or in their... And they show it around.
Really? Okay. I think I'd be a little more secretive than that. I think I would, I don't know, maybe I would be, you know, just a little more sly about it, but I guess there's no reason to be. And friends of mine who've had major procedures have been all too happy to tell me all about it and to go into the details, and this is what they loved about the doctor, and this is what they maybe didn't like so much. So I've certainly been on the receiving end of a lot of that. What should people look for, Dr. Hanna, if, you know, they're listening to my show around the country? Because we're podcast, we're on nationalreview.com, so maybe they can't get to you in Hinsdale, but they can certainly, by the way, friends, you can go to betsysblog.com and click on Dr. Hanna. What can they do where they are to find a doctor that they trust? Because, wow, this is like finding, you know, I mean, you've got to be so careful that the person knows what he's doing and he's really good. How do you figure that out?
My practice is national, Betsy, so they usually come from all over. So they don't mind, even if they retire in Florida, they want to come back and get the rest of their surgery done 10, 15 years later.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And their husbands, their wives, their kids usually come back and travel, and they don't mind doing it.
Well, let's just say somebody can't. If for some reason somebody can't get to you, what is something they should look for in a surgeon in their area?
The most important thing is that they see the work of the surgeon,
mm-hmm.
see the results and how many of that procedure he does a day, a week, or a month. And this is very important. Having certification and board certification is not that important like good work.
Okay.
But it's better to have the board certification, of course. But after that is how many do you do a day, how many do you do a week, doctor? And,
oh.
And I see your results. Do you have anybody you've operated on I can see? Pictures are not enough.
And do you, okay, and do you, what's a good answer for how many have you done? If you say, let's say somebody's looking to have a facelift done, what's a good answer? What do you want to hear back?
About 4 or 5 facelifts a week.
Okay, okay, that's a lot. That's somebody like you who really, really knows what he's doing and gets great results. And I've seen your results and they are great. What?
10, 15 noses a week, 10 cups a week.
That's amazing. Okay, now, what do you ever get into a situation where somebody comes to you for a procedure and you say, no, you're not a good candidate, either for physical or psychological reasons? And what would those be if you were to decline somebody?
Well, nowadays, because of the machines available of tightening and taking wrinkles away without surgery, you can do these machines on somebody who has, for example, certain medical problems where they cannot be operated on,
okay,
like heart, severe heart problems,
okay,
high blood pressure, diabetes, etc. Then you can use tightening machines like the Thermage or the Axon or a machine called the Pixel for little wrinkles here and there.
Now, do you ever get, we've just got a minute left, do you ever get somebody who is looking for this to change their life in a way that it's just not going to do, where you have to say, this isn't your answer?
Yeah, if somebody comes in and they are in about 70 years old or 65 and they say, I want to look like my daughter who's 26 years old, that type of patient I really would not operate on. They need to be a psychiatrist.
Okay. All right. Dr. Wafi Khanna, my friend, a sponsor, thank you so much for coming on the show today and just encouraging us to think about there's ways to look good on the outside as you feel on the inside. And I think we could all use a little more of that, however that happens. Dr. Khanna, thanks so much for coming on the air.
Thank you. I was very honored, and I thank you so much for inviting me.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming in. Dr. Wafi Khanna of Khanna Facial Cosmetic Surgery in Hinsdale. Find them via my website, betsysblog.com. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to this week's edition of It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart wishing you a well and happy week. We'll see you next time.
Help your family with insight from Dr. James Dobson on Focus on the Family, weekdays at 11:30 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Thank you for taking care of the families.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think you need a lift? That maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, to eat well, to look good for your age, to be healthy, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. Today there are so many wonderful enhancements available to you with little or no downtime and no surgery, and they can help you to look good on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. Dr. Khanna is a leader in treatments like Restylane to fill deeper facial lines, Botox to soften them, and the amazing skin tightener Accent. What's really incredible, just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180, or visit HannahMD.com.
AM 1160.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Math. A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookie? Math. And that's why math is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Not long ago, a customer suggested we sell Matt's chocolate chip cookies in health food stores because of Matt's all-natural ingredients. No additives or preservatives and less than 1/3 milligram of cholesterol in every cookie. Now, we appreciate the suggestion, but we don't make any health claims for Matt's. Just one psychological claim. Eat a Matt's chocolate chip cookie and you'll feel real happy.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod.